Amen. That is always our prayer here at Friendship Community Church, that God would speak through His Word to us, to our hearts and our minds, and insert into our lives that sense of His presence, and that that sense of His presence would lead to our lives giving Him glory. Happy New Year to everyone from the elders and staff here at Friendship Community Church. Certainly, most everyone is ready for a new year, and although nothing magical or miraculous happened moving from December 31st to January 1st, we do use mileposts in time to mark where we are, where we've been, and where we're hoping to go, which leads me to this question. What's the longest trip you have ever taken? It can be a road trip, an airline flight, or an ocean cruise. It can be measured in nautical miles or days on a calendar. Sometimes the longest trip ever is the one back home from the grocery store with screaming little ones in the back seat. For many of us, 2020 was a difficult year to take vacations or even business trips. For our family, January usually signifies some sort of long trip somewhere to rest and recharge after a busy holiday and pastoral season. In the past, we would often board a cruise ship in January, and I would have nothing to plan or coordinate, kind of like heaven. We'd celebrate another year down for our family, another wedding anniversary, which is January 1st, another birthday belated for me and upcoming for my wife Haley, and we'd use the trip to rest, reset, and refocus for the new year that was upon us. We're not sure what that's going to look like for us this year. Certainly, it's not going to be like years past, but it's something that has been an important ritual for our family, more than a ritual, really, more like a renewal, which to you, I would like to suggest that 2020, that we wish each other happy renew year. And so I want us to take a look at Scripture this first Sunday of the new year and have us see what it says about renewal, what it does for us, why renewal is important, and how it's easy for us to fall sometimes into the comfortable ruts of the past. So before we read God's Word today, let's pray for renewal through His truth. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's true. Renew our hearts and minds through the reading of Scripture today. Use Your Holy Spirit to open our ears and eyes to Your will, not only for ourselves, but for the people around us. And help us, Father, to focus on Your Word and the truth about You and humanity that is lying here in front of us in Scripture today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Scripture we're going to look at today is Romans chapter 12, as Paul's instructions to believers in Rome might fit nicely into our world and our to-do list and resolutions for a new year. So let's start with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "Therefore I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, alive, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." Do not be conformed to this present world. What do we encounter about God and humanity so far in this passage, either by what is stated or what is inferred? Well, first off, in verse 1, it states that God is merciful. And it's by the mercies of God that Paul exhorts his brothers and sisters, us as believers, to present our bodies as a sacrifice. So one can infer that our natural bent, humanity's natural bent, is not to live sacrificially, but to rank ourselves first and to look out for number one. And that would be a totally normal way to live through 2020 and 2021, if not for the mercies of God. What is mercy for? Well, it's for undeserving recipients, people that can't give mercy to themselves. People that are entitled don't tend to think that they need mercy. People that are not self-aware tend to rank themselves higher than they ought and lower others, lower than they ought. But this exhortation to present our bodies as sacrifices is not just for a proper ranking system. No, it's a reasonable request because it is our reasonable service to a merciful God. And what do we look like when we are no longer number one in our lives? Well, we look alive, holy, and pleasing to God. Does offering up our bodies and lives instantly transform us into living, pure, and pleasing disciples? Well, the decision of surrendering our life to Christ is the first step on our trip. But you can buy plane tickets and never board the plane. You can pack up the car and never pull out of the garage. Verse 2 is all about the beginnings of our turn-by-turn navigation. It says, "Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect." Many of our youth and young people find enlightenment in the present world. The backwards thinking of their parents and grandparents is, well, backward and outdated. Yet the author of Romans warns that a sacrificial, living, holy, and pleasing to God life will not grow out of a conforming to present norms of the present world. Many of our older members of society and the church will point to this and say, we've got to stay true to the old ways to avoid this conforming. Church has to stay this way. Society has to go back to that way. But that's not what this scripture says. Yes, do not be conformed to this present world. But the sentence does not end there. It finishes with, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's two verbs in this dependent clause, transformed and renewed. Transformed means literally changed. Keeping things the same or going back to the old ways is not a transformation. The elders of society and the church can't look at the youth and say, "We're not changing because change is bad." That would be unbiblical. The whole position would be unbiblical. God is about transformation, cataclysmic change. God desires us to repent from our old, rebellious, and selfish ways. Repenting is a 180-degree turn, turning from south to north. Turn around whenever possible, the GPS will tell us. And in our old, sinful, selfish nature, a course correction is virtually impossible because of our nature. Our human destiny is laid out like train tracks, and we can't do a 180 without derailing and exploding into a smoldering end. But when we surrender to Jesus, the Holy Spirit transforms us. And with this transportation theme, it would be easy to say He transforms us from a train to a plane or to a bird, but in reality, it's probably more like one of those railroad service trucks. Have you seen one of those? They're normal pickup trucks with extra steel wheels that lower down to engage with the rails, transforming them into rail vehicles. You see, that's what's backwards in our heads and hearts. We're born on the rails. We know nothing different than selfishness and self-interest because of sin. Yet, when we surrender the driver's seat and all of the controls of our life to God, the Holy Spirit transforms us. He shows us a lever we never knew was there that disengages those steel wheels, and suddenly we can drive off of the rails of sin, off of the rails of following the world. And wouldn't your friends and family be seriously concerned for you if you told them, well, for 2021, I've decided to go off the rails? Well, not really a positive meaning in our culture, but that's a picture of not conforming to this present world, but being transformed. But let's now turn our attention to renewing of your mind. The transforming happens by the Holy Spirit, yes, but with our surrender and participation. How? By the renewing of our mind. And how do you renew something? How do you renew a car? Or let's change up the word picture a bit. And how do you renew a house? Do you use a bulldozer? No, that's demolishing. That's raising with a Z and not renewing. You make a house new again by making repairs, making improvements, cleaning or fixing up things maybe you've ignored or let go. You renew a house by making it hospitable and welcoming. You pick things up and shove them in the closet, or you finally empty out the closet. So how do you renew your mind? By making repairs, by not just deciding to live with your rotted thinking. You shift your thinking from self-interest to being others-centered, selfless. You move from thinking about your will to God's will. You start thinking about what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. And not to you, but to God Himself. The rails of self-interest are magnetic. Humanity was born with a nature that gravitates towards the easy and the hands-free. And there's no method of travel more slotted and inflexible than train travel. And ourselves tend to be inflexible when it comes to our position in comparison to others. Look at Romans 12 again, picking up at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another. Do you know what phrase stuck out the most to me in that passage, in those passages? That you and I ought not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment. When it comes to your pride or your lack of humility, when it comes to your need for approval or your ability to be in control, do you ever have those moments when you admit to yourself or even a family member or close friend, yeah, I know I'm a blank and I need to work on blank? That's a moment of not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but thinking with sober discernment. That's what one of those moments is. But if you're honest with yourself, those sober moments are just that, moments. We have a new driver in the DeMarco household, and she's a 15-year-old with a learner's permit. And currently, she is a very careful driver, not overly cautious or scared, just hyper aware and mindful for the most part of her speed, her lane position, and other drivers. But you and I know what is destined to happen as she gets more comfortable with driving, more entrenched in the habits of being behind the wheel. The natural pull of comfort and familiarity is that she will become distracted with other things. She'll take her driving awareness for granted. Now, conversation in the car or on the phone or even just daydreaming about the day's plans or events, that's going to cause distraction. And as some of us have experienced, when we are distracted or worse, the flashing lights of judgment appear behind us saying, we need intervention. We need correction. Our driving skills need renewing. You might even have the option of going to a defensive driving course to avoid the ticket going on your record or your insurance rates going up. Oh, what grace. So you are exhorted to renew your mind in that situation. Renew your mind going back to when you were 15 to be sober about the privilege and responsibility of driving. The truth is that when it comes to our minds and our spiritual lives, we tend to have momentary flashes of paying attention. Yeah, I know I'm a blank and I need to work on blank. But the majority of our thinking, the rest of the time, for most of us, is time on the rails, feeling good about ourselves, that we can even admit our problem, but feeling at peace with doing nothing about it. We all have moments of self-aware sobriety with lifetimes of inebriated self-absorption. We are literally drunk on ourselves. In other words, we are in love with ourselves. That's life on the rails. That's how the present world wants us to conform. Society wants us to believe our born nature of self-absorption is good. And ignore the renewing of our minds. Ignore where we fall short. Ignore our moments of clarity and sobriety. But that's not love if it's hypocritical. Look at Romans 12 again, picking up at verse 9. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty and associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited. Do you know what we just read? A list of ways to resist conformity to the world and how to renew your mind. It's basically a Christian's list of resolutions for 2021, 2022, you name it. Let's see them again. Love without hypocrisy. That means to abhor evil and cling to what is good. And that starts within yourself. Don't turn a blind eye to your hypocrisy. A lot of us are really good at abhorring evil that we see in the world or we see over our neighbor's fence, but we don't look inward. And likewise, do not give short shrift to the good God has placed in you, the good that God has placed in you. Don't let the enemy brainwash you into thinking there is nothing good that God can make of you or what you've done. Love without hypocrisy. Second, be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. The writer of Romans is writing this specifically to members of the church, believers, brothers and sisters, in how they relate to one another. In 2021, will you commit your devotion to the other members of the body of Christ and show eagerness to honor others instead of seeking and elevating your own personal honor? That's a pretty good biblical resolution for the new year. Third, contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality. Well, renew the way that you think about money and the resources that God has given you this year by setting a portion aside. You know, God's provided that for you to help others, other believers, and the work of the gospel in your community and in your world. Prepare to open your household to the mission of God. 2020 was pretty restrictive to a lot of those activities, but 2021 is a new year. 2021, we're more educated about the viral world around us in doing this in responsible ways, but prepare to open your household to the mission of God instead of being a shrine on the cul-de-sac of U Street. And that's not the letter U, that's the Y-O-U. A lot of times our homes are castles, there are retreats, there are lairs, but like a Batman lair, not like a seven-layer dip. But instead of being a shrine to us, we should open our homes and pursue hospitality. Number four, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This is echoed at the end of chapter 12 with the reminder to not repay evil for evil and that vengeance is God's and not yours or mine. And we're to bless our enemies, feed them, and quench their thirst. All of that is there at the end of the chapter. And this is the opposite of the world's perspective and cancel culture and renews your mind to the sovereignty of God, that He's in control and that undeserved grace that you have received and is available to you is also available to your enemy. It's a good reminder. Number five, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. These are getting pulled straight from the book of Romans chapter 12. What does rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep mean? It means be empathetic. Not everything and everyone needs to be rosy and joyful, and not everyone need be dressed in black walking with a funeral dirge behind them in the background, but both may happen in life in close proximity. 2020 should have taught us that. This is also an exhortation not to stick your head in the sand over people's joy or mourning simply because you don't want to hear it. Being empathetic is selfless. Number six, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be conceited. Here is a quick selfless love diagnostic. Are you ready? This is how you can diagnose whether you are loving selflessly in your life. Who is someone lowly you associate with? How harmonious are you with people that you disagree with? How proud are you for being right or more right than other people? Venture to grow in humility in your answer to these areas this year, in the year 2021. Number seven, if possible, live peaceably with all people. It's interesting to me that this one instruction, this one resolution, has the caveat, if possible. Did you notice that? Living peaceably requires something of two parties, but it doesn't require equality or fairness in this peace-reaching process. One party can surrender more than the other for establishing or maintaining peace, but peace should be the goal of every believer in every relationship if possible, will you commit to lead a life that is a more peaceable life in 2021? That means less hot takes and more understanding. And thus, we have the end of chapter 12, and we bump into chapter 13 and the instruction to submit to civil government. And I think I covered that plenty back in 2020. So let's stop here with this examination of our hearts. As we studied last week, nothing in this human life is certain, except for the journey, the road trip that is life. So are you living life blind to the fact that you are on the rails of conforming to the world, the rails of our sin nature, your sin nature, my sin nature, living on the rails that I am going to just live how my body and mind reacts to situations? Or maybe you thought you were a free spirit and open-minded, progressively living life free range, all the while letting the world and your innate born nature determine how you think and relate and live, blind to this slavery and determinism that is the rails of the self-interested life. Or maybe you've been living in fear for not wanting to venture off of well-worn paths of your life or your ancestors' lives, not out of necessarily scriptural instruction, but out of comfort and fear of, or maybe just loss of tradition. Maybe you've been scared of examining the potential hypocrisy of your habits and beliefs because of the potential impact on your preferences of self. Whichever end of the spectrum that you gravitate towards, in light of these truths in Scripture about God and humanity, and these exhortations and instructions from the writer of the book of Romans, inspired by the Holy Spirit, how is God convicting you of your conforming in this present world, to this present world? How is God convicting you of your conforming to this present world? I want you to think about that as you examine your heart. Secondly, how is God wanting to renew your mind? And lastly, how can you live in more sobriety? That's being sober-minded about who you are, who God is, and who God wants you to be in 2021. Take some time now or shortly after this message, take some time to jot down the answers to these questions. And let me pray over the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And as you choose, I pray to participate in that work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the conviction of the Spirit. I thank you that you can make these changes in our life, that you can transform us when we surrender the driver's seat to our lives. Father, when it comes to this new year, Father, help us to make goals and plans with our professional lives and our personal lives, certainly. But Father, help us to be resolute. Help us to make resolutions not towards things that can be taken away by economic toil or a pandemic, but help us to resolve to do things that help us renew our minds. Father, your Spirit is speaking to every one that is within range of my voice right now. Help every ear and every heart and every mind record those thoughts, record those convictions, and commit to making 2021 a year where we become less so that Jesus becomes more. We love you, and we thank you for this opportunity to take another year and live sacrificially. May our lives be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If 2020 taught us anything, it's that our plans can change in an instant, but setting goals to renew our mind while resisting the urge to conform to this world is really living a life resolute to making God number one, first in your life. So happy Renew Year 2021. Your future self will thank you, but best of all, you, if you seek to embrace the transformation that the Holy Spirit can provide and that you participate in that transformation by seeking to renew your mind, you'll find yourself alive, holy, and pleasing to God. Have a great week and God bless.